Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, we're going to go off course a little bit here. We did NFL and NBA in hour number one. We'll certainly continue to talk NBA and NFL, but in a slightly different way. The media's coverage of it and presentation of it with our next guest. He is the New York Post media columnist, Andrew Marchand, who's good enough to jump aboard with us for a couple minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. How you been, Andrew?
I'm doing well, Jody. Good to hear your voice.
My pleasure. Appreciate catching up with you. I know you had fun with this story this week. We had the whole Tony Romo a competition between ESPN and CBS. Romo and his agent played his cards quite well, thank you very much. Got a big lucrative contract out of it. Was able to stay where he was at, working with Jim Nance, which he seems to enjoy greatly, and get paid all heck of a lot of money. Some of it dependent on how the network contracts go with the league itself, but chances are CBS going to stay in the mix, going to keep Romo, going to pay him more money to announce than he probably made to actually play the game. And that follows up with the pursuit of one Peyton Manning. ESPN coming up short for Romo, still needs to fix its Monday night broadcast, and they're pushing all their chips into the middle of the table to try and put a partnership together of Peyton Manning and Al Michaels. How is that going to work?
Well, there's a lot of steps for Al Michaels to end up with Monday Night Football again and Peyton Manning to be his partner. But first off, NBC would have to say, yes, ESPN can talk to Al. Al has two more years left on his contract. He's 75, and he really hasn't slowed out at all. He's still at the top of his game, if not the best, one of the best calling NFL games from the play-by-play position. So ESPN wants him to add glamour back to the Monday Night booth, especially as all the networks head into their TV, their negotiations for their next packages with the NFL, which will be for billions of dollars. ESPN wants more, along with ABC and Disney, and so they'd love to add Al. And then Peyton Manning, he's always said no to games. He's been asked by every network, but now the money has gone $10+ million for guys like him. Romo got 10 years and $180 million. I'm not sure that Peyton's going to get that high, but he's still going to get a very lucrative contract. And the other factor for him is that Eli Manning is no longer playing, which was a factor in him not calling games sooner.
Do you think that he's actually going to come in at less than Romo? I know Romo's been doing it for a couple of years, but Tony Romo is Tony Romo, and Peyton Manning's Peyton Manning. When Romo set the bar, I think if I were Peyton Manning's agent, I'd say, all right, we start there and go north. Do you think he'd actually do it for less than Romo, come in as the second highest paid analyst?
I think Peyton Manning is as competitive as they come, so he's going to want to be paid more. Will ESPN do it? I'm not positive. I think that, you know, they had planned a 10-year, $140 million contract for Tony Romo, which is $40 million less than what CBS paid. Now there's people at CBS who feel like if he got into the open bidding, they would have topped the $18 million. So we're going to see with Peyton Manning, because if true, they'll top it. But I'm going to have to see it. I'm not positive he's going to get as much as Tony Romo, because from people I've talked to, ESPN, you know, at least with Romo, wanted to be disciplined. Now at this point, well, they say, you know what, with Peyton Manning, the market has been set, $180 million for 10 years with Tony Romo, so we have to either equal that or top it for Peyton Manning. That's possible. But there's no evidence yet that they've gone that high. They could, but as of right now, I think their initial offer is likely to be less.
Fair enough. And maybe a compromise position is that Peyton does what he does for Monday Night Football, but then also continues to do the other things that he's been doing for ESPN. I don't know what kind of paycheck he was getting for that. If you've got a guess, you can feel free to share with us. But if he gives them a little added value, maybe that gets him into and maybe even above Romo's market.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I mean, people are so these guys are getting paid what for how much? For Tony Romo, he'll do, depending if they have a Super Bowl or not, around 20 to 22 games per year. That's 22 days of work. Now you have to travel in, so maybe double it or even triple, if you will. But I think you'll probably just double it with how Romo's schedule is going to work out. And so 44 dates, $18 million. It's not a bad per show outing. Like, you know, it's Jody Mack money.
Wish I could only be. I wish I could see that neighborhood, let alone ever go and visit it or reside there.
Let's just get like 200 miles from that neighborhood.
Yeah, and wave. Send up a smoke signal or something. Yeah. Andrew Marchand, New York Post Medium columnist, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Andrew, the other story that's making big news is the effect that the coronavirus scare is having on professional sports. The NHL yesterday said they are going to cease allowing reporters into the locker room after the game. All post-game interviews would be done in a separate media room in a separate setting. So one-on-one interviews are going to become much less likely. How much of an effect does this have on coverage of individual teams? Because there's a chance the NBA and MLB could follow suit shortly thereafter. I think that it's a precaution that needs to at least be looked at. Now that it has been decided upon, what kind of effect does it have on the coverage of a team that's going to implement this policy?
Yeah, for reporters, we build rapport by in those locker rooms and in the casual conversations, the one-on-one encounters that you have with players and GMs and team presidents. And so when the locker room access is cut like that, even though obviously there's a world health scare that's more important and more vital, it does impact the relationship. Now, if this is just a short-term solution, then I could see, you know, then okay, fine. You know, obviously we all are going to have to likely adjust to try to deal with coronavirus. But that said, I don't know if limiting, you know, usually a hockey team, you know, for the most part, you know, how many reporters are going into the locker room after the game? 10, 15 at most. So I don't know if that's really going to change anything. Like, I don't know if that, if it's such a, it's a remedy you needed, or is this a way to maybe get people out of the locker room, which players, you know, generally don't want. And you could say, I could understand people listening. Why the media in the locker room? Well, the way to get these in-depth stories is in the way it's, you know, operated for a long time is that, especially like in baseball, for example, before the game, there's an hour of access where the media is in the locker room, and it allows for you to get to know guys better, and the stories that you hear and the ones that you like, the detailed stories, that's where those are found, just in conversations. And so, again, we're dealing with something that's bigger than sports, of course, right now. And so if it's temporary, maybe it's understandable, but you know, if it's just sort of to crack something open for a longer-term way of doing things, I think not only would it be bad for the media, but I think it's a mistake for the league, because I do think it helps to sell the sports when people can understand things better and get to know people better. And that's, you know, the media is the middleman between the players and the fans, even though it's less so than ever because of social media.
And I cannot refute your suggestion that there could be a hidden agenda or agendas here that we'll have to wait and see how they play out going forward. But there is at least being discussion of games potentially being played sans crowd, sans paying admission patrons coming in to watch the game because they're trying to control this environment as much they can. If a league like the NHL or any other league were to go to those kind of lengths, then we would know that there's no hidden agenda other than safety of their players and safety of the general public. Agreed?
No doubt about it. And look, I think the NHL's intentions, as far as I can tell, are good. I mean, I'm going to go on the side of they're not trying to do something underhanded here. But I don't know. You could make some arguments that they're going to be like the NHL situation. You're having a crowd. Let's say they're going to allow crowds into the arenas, and then that, you know, you kind of have to go full. I think the problem is the issue that I think, again, I'm not a coronavirus expert. That's not why you have me on. But if you don't go full measures, like half measures don't really work. So that kind of feels like a half measure with the media. I'm sure the intentions are good, but it just doesn't feel like that is really a solution necessarily. That if you're the NHL and you really want to make an impact, it's probably what you're talking about, and you're not going to have people at the arenas. That we're not there yet, and hopefully we don't get there, and we can figure this out without doing that. But that seems as if, like, if you're trying to keep people safe, it's, you know, large crowds. Is an issue at the moment because of the, you know, how easily it's transmitted.
Andrew Marchand from the New York Post, their sports media columnist, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, we are just around the corner from tournament time, which is a different animal than anything else in all of sports. 68 teams played out over several weeks, played out over not one, not two, not three, four different networks. With games, CBS, TNT, TBS, True TV, and they have almost matching studio shows rather than just one big studio show that covers all games on all outlets as it used to when CBS had the whole enchilada. Does it play better the way that it is developed into, that it is a branching out of the sport, or do you think it gets too misdirected? We've seen it develop over the last several years. What's your thought on the 2020 tournament as it is going to be presented to its viewers?
Yeah, I think it's fine, you know, because you can see every game you want to see, which is great. I mean, I'm a little old school. I loved when you used to switch from game to game or something as a media nerd, you know, seeing where they're going to switch, what are they going to do, are we going to see the end of this game? That was fun, but that's not the world we live in now, and it's still better because obviously you get to make the choice if you want to see your team or which team you want to watch. They're all accessible, and you can watch them online as well. So it's better now, but it's not as fun from a media angle. It's not as fun, and But I think overall it's a better environment because of the access.
Will Charles Barkley be more knowledgeable of the college game or less knowledgeable of the college game this year?
Yeah, he's gotten a little better over the years. When he first started, he knew nothing. But, you know, Barkley is probably the best studio guy ever. Obviously, his expertise is the NBA. I do think, though, he's improved. The one thing I will say in their coverage, and this is a CBS-TNT thing, is that, like, the TNT inside the NBA obviously is very personality-driven, a lot of jokes. I do feel like sometimes with the CBS thing, it doesn't need to be. When they go too much around Barkley, I think that hurts the show because I think when you talk about the NCAA tournament, people want to watch the games and not, like, the Charles Barkley show. So, yes, he knows much more than he used to. He does study up more than at first. At first, he didn't seem very knowledgeable. But now he knows his stuff, and he is the best studio analyst, so, in my opinion, of all time.
All right, we're only a couple of weeks away from the start of the baseball season. Return of Sunday Night Baseball. Down a chair, Jessica Mendoza gets a contract extension but is taken off Monday night. I know she's going to show up on Greeny's show in the morning more often, but I guess it's not a bad gig if you get your contract extended and they take your biggest responsibility away. What do you think the Matt Vasgersian A-Rod two-man booth is going to be like?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because both those guys go into the final year of their contracts, and A-Rod's going to have a chance to show that he can carry a broadcast for 9 innings. You know, Vasgersian's a pro. He can handle it. There's no doubt. You know, people might like him. People might not like him. But he can do games. He did the Padres for years. He's been a national broadcaster for years. So he can do the job. It's A-Rod that the question is, he does present himself as if he's, you know, very into, you know, Major League Baseball. And he is into baseball. I know that from covering him for so many years, and he knows a lot. But is he, you know, between J-Lo and doing all the shows he does and, you know, filming Instagram posts, does he study the game and really have the knowledge of, you know, who's on the San Francisco Giants and, you know, what their setup situation is? I'm not sure. And I think those things get exposed and, you know, more when you're the only guy or person in the booth in this case. So that said, I do think there was a lot of air to fill and it was a little awkward, the three of them. So it could be better, but it's going to be on A-Rod. There's no real excuses for him. And like I said, his contract up at the end. Will he want to do it? Will ESPN still want him? They also have Chipper Jones joining their weekday broadcast. He's somebody who could be in line if he does well to perhaps move to Sunday. And the interesting, you know, bigger element with ESPN is that I do think they could add more playoff games in the next agreement, which should start in 2022. So this booth could become even more important because you could be doing very important playoff games, a year from now. So that's another little sidelight as we move forward with that Sunday night team and ESPN.
All right, Andrew, last thing, and if you haven't had the chance or you haven't been motivated up by it, please tell me. But if you have, give me your thoughts. XFL on TV, again, another venue that's spread out over several different networks. I actually think it doesn't help the XFL, but they've got some different type rules, which I think add excitement to the game. And they seem to use a couple of different broadcast elements than regular networks do for NFL games. What would you say is the best thing about XFL broadcast these days? Aspect, personality, whatever you want to drop it on. And what do you think is the one thing they've tried and unfortunately failed here in the first couple of weeks in presenting their product on TV?
So number one, I'd say the quality of the play is good enough. Now, I think everyone wants to see the ratings. The week one, of course, they did well, and then they haven't really maintained those ratings, which they weren't going to do, but the ratings have been slightly disappointing after that. But to me, the quality of play. So I don't think it's a game you're going to – it's appointment TV as of now. But is it – if it's on, could you watch it? I think you can. And I think one thing to answer your question more fully is that a couple of the broadcast booths, they really have done well. Kevin Burkhart with Greg Olson is a really good team. ESPN teams are very good as well. And so when you look at it, you're getting a quality broadcast with Steve Levy. He might not be everyone's taste, but Pat McAfee is entertaining. You know, he hasn't been on all the broadcasts, but he's been on some. Greg McElroy is a good analyst. And so when you look at it, they've gotten that quality correct. To me, I like the gimmicky stuff with the with the access, some of it, but I think some of it's a little too much. Like, I don't know if you need to be interviewing players every 5 seconds. I think it takes away from the competition, and I think you could accomplish it just as much if you have live mics. You know, we see NFL films after the fact, a week after, and I'm not saying you're going to get that quality. But if you just give me inside what guys are saying with mics everywhere, it's reviewed so there's nobody swearing, and two, a minute later you're seeing this is what they're saying. I think that's a better use of the time than having and conducting interviews, too many interviews in game, which are interesting in some respects, but I think it just kind of makes it feel like the league isn't as much a sport as it is sort of like a game show. So that would be my biggest negative in terms of where I think they could improve upon.
Nice balanced reporting. That's what you get when you read Andrew Marchand, his columns in the Post, media sports critic, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew, thanks for hopping on board. Appreciate the insight. We'll touch base down the road.
All right, great. Thanks, Jody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.